So I've decided to do this extracurricular little podcast, Jew for Trump podcast is what it's tentatively going to be called. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, the thing that just racks my brain is that about 10 years ago, I read an incredible book. This book is what caused me to follow the path of Messianic Judaism and has basically, you know, caused me to be the person I am today. And it was written by an atheist. I used to work in political talk radio years and years ago. I used to be a fill-in guy for Sirius and XM on the channel Sirius XM Patriot. And the thing is that there was this incredible book that had been around since around the 1960s, and it's a massive book, about 1,400 pages. And it recently got made into three movies. Of course, the name of this of these films and the name of this book and the author is Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. Now, the thing is that Rand was an atheist. Rand was big into objectivism, okay? And the entire book, Atlas Shrugged, to know what it's about, it's actually right there within the title. You have the Greek god Atlas that carries the weight of the world upon his shoulders. And what would happen if Atlas decided to shrug and throw the weight of the world off of his shoulders? And essentially, this is what the book is about. And we see a lot of what is going on in that book, in that critically acclaimed novel, happening today. And there's these individuals within the book, within this novel, who were the producers. And then you had the recipients. The producers would be the people like, Dagny Taggart, who headed up Taggart Railways. John Galt, whenever there would be an unanswerable question, they would say, well, who is John Galt? Come to find out, John Galt is an actual person and a person who was a producer. The same true with Henry Reardon, who made Reardon Metal. And the thing about it, though, is that I remember in 2008, you know, the thing about it, though, is one of the big things was that we needed somebody who was a John Galt or Henry Reardon type of person representing the American people in the Oval Office. This is, you know, the Atlas Shrugged, you know, basically we started to see the things that were happening in the world today and, you know, seeing all these parallels within this fictional novel. And so the thing about it, though, is that we would make the claim that we needed somebody like a Henry Reardon or a John Galt. And now today that dialect is kind of very much died down. And the thing about it was, I went to revisit Atlas Shrugged. I hadn't seen the movies yet. I just bought all three of them, as a matter of fact, on iTunes. Going to watch them on the Apple TV probably over the duration of the next couple of days. But I remember specifically, you had this guy, Henry Reardon, who made Reardon Metal that was like 1,000 times stronger than any other kind of metal. This guy was like your Donald Trump kind of figure. In fact, in the trailer for the first movie, you know, he goes and, you know, somebody who's related to him goes and says, you put off this persona like all that it is that you want to do is to make money. He's like, that is what all I want to do. And he says, yes, but you shouldn't say it. And when I look at Henry Reardon and this iconic figure within this novel, I end up seeing in many ways many parallels, as well as many John Galt parallels, to that of Donald Trump. Now, the thing about it, though, is that we can look at the individuals such as Dagny Taggart's brother, who was in with basically the socialists and so on and so forth, who were basically a part of this establishment of, okay, this is what you got to do. This is how you have to say things. You know, and the thing about it, though, is that when we look at the Republican Party today and what it is that we have had thrown at us, I've been a Republican ever since the year 2000, okay? And the party has changed a great deal since then. Back then, we would actually have politicians getting things done. We were all excited when John Boehner became the Speaker of the House of Representatives. What did he accomplish in that time? Absolutely nothing. People were so much in arms that we had him replaced with that of Paul Ryan. Now, Paul Ryan hasn't been there long, but still, at the same time, what has Paul Ryan accomplished? Absolutely nothing. He has basically just, you know, kind of gone and taken the same formula that that John Boehner had basically been going and pushing. And the thing about it, though, is that when you look at talk radio today, there are many people who are all up in arms over Donald Trump getting the nomination. And the fact is that they will focus in on one or two things that are a part of his platform that they deem as not being conservative, and they're correct in that, one or two things. But then they go and they say, well, the guy's not a constitutionalist, you know, and try to say that, of course, that Ted Cruz was, considering, yeah, okay, constitutionalist. Well, then he should know that you can't be born in Canada and then run for the presidency of the United States. I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, that. That's one of the most obvious things within the Constitution. But yet somehow they prop up Ted Cruz as though he was, you know, this kind of, you know, constitutionalist conservative, which is absolutely incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. You know, in politics, there are always these individuals that basically they say that you have to fit in our little box, in our little group here. And the group is much smaller than it is that you think of. If I say conservative to one person, they are going to say, well, it's this, this, and this. And then I ask somebody else, they're going to say, well, that person's crazy. It's this, this, and this. And there's different economic models and so on and so forth. And so the thing about it, though, is that the issue with many of these economic models is they really have not adequately been put into practice. The individuals who are advocate for certain economic models have never put them into practice themselves, with them being a contributor to the cause, essentially, through that of owning a business or running a business or something of that measure. Instead, they, you know, go to law school, they run for, you know, they run for office. This is the platform that they're given. Okay, this sounds good. Never have implemented it. Never put it into practice and say, this is what it is that we're doing. Now, considering that the past several years, since we have taken over the House, since we have taken over the Senate, we have accomplished absolutely nothing. Nothing. We could have been putting pressure on the President of the United States, but yet we have failed to do it. And in my opinion, we need somebody with skin in the game, somebody who's actually done something with their own economic model, and it may not fit your economic model based upon this type of economics or that, you know, Austrian economics, Keynesian economics, and so on and so forth. It may not fit it into that practice. But the fact is that this individual has used his own economic model and adjusted his own economic model to be able to form a multi-billion-dollar company. To me, that is the definition of conservatism. Taking things that we have learned through the way, taking things that we've learned from the past, finding out what works, what has been tested, and the things that have failed, we then adjust our way. So to say that Donald Trump is not a conservative is intellectually dishonest in many different facets, especially when you look at his business model. And the thing about it, though, is the anti-Trump individuals will go and say, well, you know, this guy was nothing but a reality television star. You know, it's like, okay, what about all the things in the 1980s? You guys remember the skating rink in New York City that the government had tried to go and, you know, reconstruct and fix and all this stuff? It took them several years and, you know, they've spent millions upon millions of dollars. Trump ended up going and taking it over through a private sector economic model and then going and having it done in record time. And so, with that, I say to myself, this is the kind of experience that it is that we need. Does Hillary Clinton have this kind of experience? Hasher Shalom, God forbid, absolutely not. Did Ted Cruz ever have this kind of experience? Hasher Shalom, God forbid. Did Marco Rubio ever have this kind of experience? Hasher Shalom, God forbid. No, he did not. What about Jeb Bush? No. What about any of the other individuals who are running on the ticket? Well, there was one other one, Carly Fiorina, but however, she went the total and complete opposite route and destroyed a company as opposed to building one up. And for some reason, Ted Cruz decided, oh yeah, this is the person that we need on the ticket over here. This woman that basically ran a company into the ground, and that says to me, well, you know what? If she ran a company into the ground, chances are she will run a country into the ground as well. So I don't think that that's actually a very good investment. But see, the fact is that when you look at the movie and the book, most notably the book, I haven't watched the movies yet. I plan on it in the next couple of days. But you look at Henry Reardon, and Henry Reardon is almost exactly like Donald Trump. Almost exactly. Because this is an individual who, despite what it is that the media personas would say about him and saying, this is the way you need to present yourself and so on and so forth, he says, no, I'm just here to get my job done. I'm here to get this done and to produce these things. And the thing about it, though, is that nobody's going to get in my way in doing it. And so in today's mindset, in this PC society, and let me tell you something, political correctness has found its way into conservatism today, into the Republican Party, because of the fact that when you go and you look all throughout history, we had presidential candidates and, you know, in the 1800s that were challenging each other to duels, for goodness sake. You know, and the thing about it, though, is that we're not even close to that through Trump's rhetoric. But yet we hear the political correctness. You can't say that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Oh my gosh, people are going to hate you because of this. However, he's correct. However, he's correct. Now, on the same side of the token here, everybody's been talking about Paul Ryan saying that at this time he cannot endorse Donald Trump. Now, the thing about it, though, is that many will go and fault Trump, or many will go and fault Ryan. In all honesty, I find this to be good on both ends. And here's the reason why I say this, is that first of all, what we have here is Paul Ryan issuing a challenge to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a person who rises to challenges and goes and succeeds when challenged. Okay? So basically, he's basically saying, I got your piece of candy here, my endorsement, but you have to earn it. And let me tell you something, in the coming months, up until the time of the convention, I guarantee you that he will get that piece of candy, that endorsement from Paul Ryan. And here's the reason why I say that, and this is why I say that it is good on both ends. That first of all, Trump is going to have to learn how to tone down his rhetoric to an extent, to a certain extent. Because of the fact that we have individuals, first of all, who are a part of the PC community, of the political correct movement, even within the Republican Party. The Republican Party might say, no, we're not a part of that. Come on, give me a break. I mean, look at this, seriously. And the fact is that he is going to have to learn how to take his rhetoric and be able to say, okay, this is the plan. This is why the other plan won't work, from that of a Hillary Clinton or a Bernie Sanders. And to be able to, as the pundits say, become more presidential. And the thing about it, though, is that with his intellect, first of all, a dummy cannot go and build a multi-billion dollar business. Okay? It just doesn't happen. So these people that say that Trump is an idiot, you know, and all this stuff, I mean, they don't know what in the world they're talking about. They have no clue what in the world they're talking about. You would say, show me the evidence. And they'd be like, well, look at his language. I say, instead of looking at the language, look at what he's accomplished. Okay, so this guy's going to succeed beyond expectations. And so when he's able to be pruned in this manner to where he becomes more presidential in his rhetoric and so on and so forth, then what you're going to end up seeing happening is he's leading Hillary Clinton in some of the polls now. You will start to see those polls change. Okay, you will start to see where he's leading at an even higher level in those polls. Now, when it comes to the polls also, one of the world's leading pollsters who has basically been wrong about this entire race, and he even admits this, said that with Donald Trump, we have something that has never been done before. We have an individual who has not come from the political realm, somebody who is not a part of the establishment, and so therefore, the algorithms and everything, the formulas that we use to poll these, these states and so on and so forth, he does not fit the mold. He doesn't fit the mold. So therefore, he cannot adequately be polled because he was winning states. And people were saying, how in the world did he end up winning these states? Well, the fact of the matter is that the polls, he doesn't fit into the mold in which other politicians were able to be fit into, because most would be a part of their establishment mold, okay? And most had served in either the House of Representatives or the Senate or been governors or worked at some level of government at some point. But with Trump, it just absolutely is not the case. So therefore, you know, adequate polling is, you know, really can't be done in terms of this outside of that of maybe exit polls. And even the exit polls, you have individuals who would be, you know, you go and you look at the 2012 election. That was supposed to be a landslide for Mitt Romney. However, we end up, as we all know, Mitt Romney ended up losing that race. And it's because of the fact of the way that the exit polling is set up, when certain people don't want to necessarily say who it is that they voted for and so on and so forth because of negative connotation. The same thing happened in 2004 as well. John Kerry was predicted to be a landslide victory over George W. Bush, but it ended up being the other way around. Okay, so, you know, when people say, you know, well, this is where the polls are at now and so on and so forth, we have seen through this Trump revolution, if you will, that basically he doesn't fit the mold and really can't be polled because he's been winning states that he should never have won. So we have all of these things to keep in mind here, and it's a great weapon that is on his side because of the fact that he's able to get his message out to the commoners, but now it is time to get his message out to that of the elite and the conservative party. And let me tell you something. You know, all of these talk radio pundits and hosts and so on and so forth, the reason why it is that they're upset, saying that he's not a constitutionalist, that he's not a conservative and all these things, the reason why they're saying that is because of the fact that Trump is not a part of the boys only club. That's the reason. This very same thing was in the movie or the book in the movie Atlas Shrugged. This, you know, they, you know, the Henry Reardons, the Dagny Taggarts, the John Galtz, you know, all of these guys were the outsiders. Each and every single one of them. The same is true with the main character in her book, The Fountainhead. The same is true with, you know, many of the figures in her novels. And we see that each and every single one of them were, however, producers. Now, I don't know how often we're going to be doing this podcast, but, you know, when something comes to mind, there will be a new episode up, and I hope that this has been helpful to you. You're not going to get much theology out of this, but you are going to get the perspective of a Jew talking about this presidential race and my endorsement of Donald J. Trump. All right, so shalom over Kov, peace and a blessing. Shalom, shalom.